Before we get into today's episode, let me tell you about patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. There, you can listen to episodes 2 days earlier, as well as get exclusive shows such as So Tell Me, an introspective podcast by my crazy life, hosted by Chalfie, the D&D podcast, an entertainment podcast with Delvin Jr. talking about all things pop culture, On Shuffle, a music podcast hosted by Mike Fowler, and much, much more. So go to patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. That's patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. I want to give a special shout out to Patreon producer Mikey Famin, host of the Ben Podcast and Dig on America. Thank you. All right. We are getting super close to episode 300. So what I need from you, the audience, the listeners, the fans, love you guys. What I need from you is I need you to send in audio or video talking about your favorite moment from the podcast and just wish me a happy 300, whatever you choose to do. Just send in me some stuff in the next 2-3 weeks so I can put it in the episode. I really appreciate you guys doing this. Thank you. Peace. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me on the podcast is my homie, Sheldon. How you doing, brother? Sheldon Allen, you may know him from a previous episode, comic book writer, my man, do it all. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm great, man. I'm always crazy. As long as I can wake up, man, I'm good. I got nothing to complain about.
I got you. True that. As always, we like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Sheldon, are you ready? All right.
I'm ready, man. I forgot about this, but I'm ready.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Then they get into it. All right. Question number one. What's the best album you've heard this year?
Oh, whew. Best album I heard this year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw a bit of a curveball I'm gonna tell on myself a little bit. It's so hard for me to get into this new stuff. I guess I'm officially old. So I've been getting into a lot of the older stuff and exploring a lot of older music.
Okay.
So it's Marvin Gaye, T Plays It Cool. So it's an older one. But
okay.
Man, it's a Marvin Gaye album, T Plays It Cool. It is incredible. It is incredible. And then when you see that he did all the production, he played the instruments on it. Insane. Highly recommend.
That's dope.
It's called T Plays Pool from Marvin Gaye.
All right. Gotta put down the playlist. All right. Question number 2. And I think this is gonna be an interesting one for you.
Okay.
CDs, cassettes, or vinyl? Which one?
You know, I got gifted a vinyl player about 2 years ago, and I'm of that age of vinyl. And I know it sounds bougie, and I know it sounds like pretentious. Man, I just feel like the sound is so different on vinyl.
It is.
I feel like it's just like a crisper sound. I can't explain it. I've had albums on CD, cassette, and a vinyl, and it's just something about that vinyl, man, where the sound quality is just elevated. So it's vinyl all day.
Yeah, because CD quality is really good. It sounds too, I don't want to say generic. It sounds too produced.
Yeah, man.
It sounds like too polished.
Like that vinyl, it's like, it's just like a it's like a rawness to it, almost sort of, and the sound even just comes out the speakers differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. All right. Question number three. Since you're a Florida boy.
Of course, probably.
I'm going to ask you this question. This is an important one for you. Okay. Candy Lady or the ice cream truck?
Man, I came up with the ice cream truck mostly, man, from my cousins and, you know, the spots that I frequented. It was that ice cream truck, man. The ice cream truck is just a different vibe, man. It just brings out a different set of feeling than the Candy Lady, man. And the ice cream man, especially if you had like a regular one, he already kind of sort of knew what you was on. You know what I mean? And he had like those specific candies. Like my go-to, for example, was that Bubblicious grape, which I can't even find it anymore. I'll be looking like going to like the little gas stations in the hood. I look like specific Bubblicious, like the watermelon joints or the sour apple joints. Or like the great one, and I don't even know if they sell it anymore. I don't even know if they make it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
it's ice cream truck all day, man. Yeah, I know it's a little hesitation, but in my answer, but yeah, it's just an ice cream truck, man. It's just different.
I like it.
See, it's to hear those little chimes and see him like creeping real slow down the street, waiting for the kids to come and run up. Different vibe, man.
Well, let me add this other caveat in. What about the frozen cup lady?
At my middle school, the frozen cup lady, I was a bit Johnny come lately on that one because I didn't really get the frozen cup lady. It was a guy, actually, until I got to middle school.
Okay.
And then that stuff was like, yeah, it I'm not going to lie, it was fun, man, especially with the pineapple joint. That's yes. My go-to as well, man. He's in the conversation, but you know, I feel like, you know, maybe it's just nostalgia making me say that the ice cream truck, because you know, it's just been with me so long as compared to the other ones.
Yeah, plus you know, yeah, you don't really see ice cream trucks.
You don't. It'd be full on food trucks.
Yeah, full on food trucks and stuff like that, especially in Miami. Like you'll see a rib truck before you see ice cream truck.
Yeah, you're going to see all types of trucks. The ice cream truck is kind of defunct now. And you see the candy lady all over the place, but they be taxing, man. And, you know, sometimes they just be tripping.
Yeah, facts. All right. Question number four. Boomers? This is still a Florida question.
Okay.
Or Grand Prix Racerama?
Man, you know what? Before you finish the question, I said, I will really throw you for a loop, and we really going to show our age, because I don't even call it Boomer. I call it Grand Prix back
See,
then. I was literally about to finish for you. I said, I still call it the Grand Prix, you know, back in the day. Like, I remember Grand Prix before that wooden roller coaster. Those of you who aren't from Florida, you're going to be like, what are they talking about? If you're from Florida, you're from South Florida, know everything that's going on in this discussion right here.
Yes.
Like, it's the Grand Prix. That's what I still call it. And that's what I'm always going to call it. It's kind of like a good comparison for those of you who aren't down here. What's the stadium that the Dolphins play at? Play at Hard Rock Stadium. But if you're from here and you're of our age, you still call it Joe Robbie Stadium.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's at Joe Robbie. You still call it Joe Robbie Stadium. So it's one of those things. It was kind of sort of like this, let's say like, Ursa, kind of sort of the Dave and Buster's is what we're talking about.
Yes.
Like it's like a kind of little amusement not park, but you know, it's like Dave and Buster's, but they had like a go-kart racetrack there. They had a bunch of other different little attractions, and it used to be called the Grand Prix, and then it got bought out by this, I don't know who bought it, but they changed the name to Boomer. But I remember the Grand Prix. That's when I first played Street Fighter 2.
Yep.
That's when I first played Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean?
That was the spot.
Grand Prix.
I remember.
Yeah, that was the spot.
I remember very well that parents would just drop their kids off there and just leave.
Listen, my mom, she just dropped me off with my older brother. She'd be like, I'm going to be back in 6 hours.
Yeah.
I guess she'd go get her little shopping or do whatever. And listen, best time you'll ever have.
Yeah,
that was facts. The reward.
Facts. I agree with that. All right. Fifth question. Give me, and this might be hard.
Okay.
The top five, your top five Florida rappers.
Florida rappers. Trick Daddy.
Okay.
Trick Daddy Dollar. I know a lot of people kind of clown him, if you want to call him a rapper, but I think he's not just important to Florida rap. He's important to rap music, and you can make an argument, music in general. Uncle Luke got to be in there.
Facts. He's important to Florida in general. Yeah, he's a big fixture in Miami-Dade County.
Uncle Luke's got to be in there. Ross got to be in there.
Yes.
Not a rapper. Kind of, sort of a rapper, even though he had a rapper turned singer. T-Pain.
Yeah.
Has got to be in the conversation. I don't think he gets enough love for what he did musically and like the run he had for like a solid decade. The amount of material that he came out, whether it was a feature or like his own singles. He was incredible on that end. And that last spot.
So many. You got Flo Rida, you got Kodak Black. You got Pitbull.
I'm thinking of Flo Rida. You know what? I'm gonna go a little bit left field. And
JT,
I'm gonna,
Money.
I'm gonna go with Trina, actually.
Okay, yeah, that's Trina. A great one.
I'm gonna go with Trina. She's got a really underrated catalog. And you know, of course you mentioned like the Lil' Kims and whatever, but the difference between Trina and Lil' Kim is that Trina was kind of sort of repping for the South. She was that, you know, that template Southern girl. You know what I mean? Lil' Kim is as amazing, incredible, and iconic as she is. You know, she's more so, you know, she's New York. You know what I mean? Trina, everybody from the South, there was somebody like Trina in their high school or on their block.
Very much so.
And the way she talked, the way, you know, the twang that she used and the way she carried herself, it was really relatable. Especially for anybody that came up from the South. So yeah, that'll be my top five, right?
I like it. That's a solid list. I think I appreciate seeing now other artists give Trina the credit she deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see it like with the City Girls. I've seen it was another artist, I think it was recently they had brought Trina on stage. I can't remember who it was, but you're seeing more and more artists from this generation give her props. And I think because the music has changed and a lot more artists like a Cardi B, like a Meg Thee Stallion are kind of rapping like Trina was rapping.
Yeah, she was really unfiltered and like, you know, of course Lil' Kim was unfiltered, but like if you look at the stuff Trina was saying like on Nan,
it was different.
I'm gonna keep it clean, but you know the stuff she was saying up there, it was like, okay, this different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, this is like hood, like relatable stuff that we really doing. You know what I mean? This ain't process. Like she just like spitting something that we all, you know, we relating to it. Like this some real freaky stuff, but like this some freaky stuff that we doing.
It sounds like a Florida girl talking.
And again, I know. Yeah, I was gonna say I know we're keeping it like really Florida, but like I know everybody says it's about their state too, but it's Florida girl, especially a South Florida girl, it's just different, man.
Very different. Very different.
It's different.
I don't think people understand how different South Florida girls are. They're a handful. If you don't know what you're doing,
they will humble you in a matter of seconds.
Yes. A lot of dudes find out the hard way when they come down thinking it's sweet. Them girls will humble you and you will leave penniless and hurt, heartbroken.
Real quick.
Yeah, facts. So how you been doing, brother? How's everything been going with you, man?
Man, like I said earlier, man, it's great. It's just been an amazing year so far. I should have some big news coming out, if not within the next month or so, like some big news, you'll see it. You'll know it when you see it. Everything's been going great on a professional front, man. And like I said, man, I'm still here, man. I'm still healthy, as far as I know. And, you know, I really have no complaints, man. As much as I may complain about certain things or call certain things out, so I just wake up really positive mood, optimistic mood every day, man. So, you know, it's just been great.
That's dope. People don't know this. I brought you on here for a particular reason. Well, I got several, but we only got so much time, but we're going to get to one right now. The conversation that's been happening lately is because of, apparently it's come out that a lot of Black culture platforms are pushing right-wing agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this has always been a constant conversation, like Media Takeout, The Shade Room, World Star Hip Hop. They kind of pushed these kind of negative connotations with Black culture. At the same time, they're pushing just like far right extreme like points, like, you know, like COVID vaccine propaganda and stuff like that. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Let's have a conversation about that.
Yeah, it's just so it's there's so many layers to why it's happening and has always been happening, and there's just so much to peel. So let's just start with the obvious one. It's obvious, but it's one of the main factors why you see it is that when you look at right-wing conspiracy, when you just look at them, they're fundamentally rooted in anger and anger. It's just anger, like, you know, everybody's against us. Or do you see how crazy and ridiculous this thing over here is? And that's what right-wing conspiracy theories are pretty much doing. It's anger. So if you have a website or a business, one of the things that's going to drive your engagement is anger. Anger is going to be a greater tool of engagement than hope or, you know, just like some feel-good story. You know what I mean? So if you have that hook of anger, you're automatically going to drive them. And you even see it with the setup of the websites. I've long said this. If you look at conservative websites versus liberal websites, the conservative websites are way more inviting. And if you look at certain websites like Media Takeout or you know, Concrete back in the day and in The Shade, you know, the way they use the fonts, the way they set up their headline, it's really engaging. And it mimics also how the conservative sites are set up. And they're designed to drive that anger and feed into that. The second thing I believe that is driving this, and one of the reasons that you're seeing it, is because you got to sort of find your niche. There was a story that came out, actually, I think after you hit me up, I believe it came out like 2 days ago, where they're talking about a lot of Black comedians, including Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, are also trafficking in like the right conspiracies or, you know, some of the conversations that are happening. And that's because it's easy to find a Black person who's going to push or talk about something progressive or talk about something that, you know, the Democrats are doing or something that's left. But if you are a Black person and you're talking about something conservative, it's not many of those. That's why for whatever we talk about or whatever we think about a Candace Owens or Jason Whitlock, whatever you may think of them, they have a niche. And it's a profitable niche because it's only so many of them.
Yes.
It's only so many of them. There's plenty of Angela Rise or, you know, Joyanne Reeves or, you know, plenty of them. But there's only so many Candace Owens. You know what I mean? She's got these little conservative book tours and, you know, speaking circuits. She's got that on lock. She's going to get an invite. And she's making great money.
And frankly speaking, she's doing a great job at it.
Yeah. You know, whether you think it's performative or not, she's committed to the act, yes. And it's paying off for her. It's paying off for her. And so that's that second part. You know, you want to sort of find that niche that's going to differentiate you from others. But then I think that the conversation you and I really want to have is, at least for me, I feel a lot of it is rooted, I feel like within the last 3 years or so, there's been Just my feeling is I've seen a striking rise of anti-woman sentiment in the community. I you can't put it all on somebody like Kevin Samuels, but it seemed to coincide with his rise in popularity. And
particularly anti-black women sentiment.
Yeah. And it just seemed to coincide with his rise in popularity. And if you think about it, it all kind of adds up, right? And so a lot of this right-wing adaptation or this embrace of this right-wing conspiracy theory, you can sort of tie it to that backlash of black women. Because one of the complaints that you hear implicitly is that it's almost like this thought of, you know, we're tired of these black women acting like they're better than us. We're tired of these black women thinking that they know better. We're tired of these black women telling us what to do, right? Well, who are the linchpins of the Democratic Party? Who's the foundation of the Democratic Party? It's black women.
Yeah.
Black women tend to be overwhelmingly progressive. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's just how it is.
They go out and vote.
And they go out and vote. So a lot of it is, well, you know what? I'm tired of you telling me what to do. I'm tired of you telling me what to think. And yeah, maybe I'll go with this, which is counter to what you're saying. It doesn't make sense. It's against what you're saying. And a lot of that embrace that we're seeing, I personally feel, is tied to that. When you look at what Kanye was talking about, you know, one of the big things that we've seen Kevin Samuels and Nick Cannon and a lot of these other guys, Kanye West, is in their mind, the black man has been sort of embraced, right? Or his stature has been sort of pushed to the side. And so you hear them talk a lot about family, you know what I mean? The left is anti-family, you know? The left is, you know, anti, you know, black man. And so a ton of it is tied to that, I feel. And I don't think it's by accident. And so when you put those three things together, you know, it's a profitable business model. It's an extremely profitable business model. And it's extremely attractive to a lot of people because, unfortunately, as we're seeing with a lot of these headlines, you know, there's a lot of paranoia out there in our society. There's a lot of anger out there in our society. And so, you know, if I got a business and my business is driven by engagement and clicks, you know, like the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. If you think about WorldStar, what was WorldStar initially famous for?
Fight videos.
It's for the fight videos, right?
People going in for fight videos and girls twerking. That was the thing.
That was it, man. So
ignorant stuff, to be honest.
It all ties together. I don't think it's by accident. I think it's by design. And at least for me, it's disturbing. Not because, obviously I'm a liberal hack, but I've never had a problem with somebody disagreeing with my politics. You know, I've never had an issue with a conservative or Republican, but some of these things are, it's just ridiculous. You know what I mean? So at least from my end, I find it to be a bit disturbing because just the anger that I see it brings out in people is the part that bothers me.
Yeah, and there's a lot I want to touch on with that. I find it interesting how times have changed in terms of how when we were growing up, the whole conversation was absent black fathers. They were saying black fathers were locked up, they were in prison, they weren't taking care of their kids. Now, time has gone on, that has less become an argument because you see a lot more fathers in kids' lives. Nowhere near the conversation as it once was. So now the argument has become, well, black women have too much control and why they're doing this and why are we taking the power away from black men? It seems like every generation, it's something that's put out there to divide us.
Right.
Whether it's the war on drugs, whether it's the absentee father, whether it's now just literally a war against man versus women, like let's put black men against black women and kind of dispute everything. And like a perfect example of that is the whole Meg Thee Stallion situation, which I found crazy, where we had a situation where she gets shot. We see the gunshot wound. Like, immediately. We see what happens. We hear the story. Somehow, some way, it gets out. Oh, that's not what happened. She didn't get shot. The whole narrative got turned, and where she went from being a victim to being like it flipped. Like Tory Lanez became the victim all of a sudden, and this became this fight.
That's exactly what happened.
It became this fight of like Meg Thee Stallion, this big corporation, and Tory Lanez just this lowly artist trying to survive when he shot somebody. And this wasn't a case where it was like we can't prove it. No, we have actual proof of this. Like, there's video evidence of the situation. There's proof of her foot. And then, it came out when the trial finally came across. I don't know if you remember this, but a couple days before the actual verdict came out, academics and a couple of other sites, black sites like Media Takeout and stuff, said that they got the transcript and they said that Tory Lanez was found not guilty. And when that happened, the way that black men in particular, responded to that, to taunt her and to harass her and go crazy, like they won the Super Bowl, was insane. To the point where it came out, the lawyers had to come out like, no, that's not true. That's not the verdict at all. And then when the actual verdict came out, people still didn't believe it. And people didn't believe it, and this is the wild thing, which fascinates me about this whole situation. People did not believe it till they heard the actual confession from Tory Lanez when he did, like, when I guess he called Kelsey, and he said he did it. And then, like, oh, yeah, he actually did it then.
And what's crazy about that is even after the audio leak, a ton of people are still like, well, it's still free Tory Lanez. It's still free for Tory Lanez.
I don't know what happened in our society, but it seems like we've gone away from protecting black women. And that's troubling.
I've long said that no one has been as unprotected and attacked as much as a black woman. They come into this world and they automatically kind of sort of just have to have their guard up because they just get it from all sides, including other black women, unfortunately, as we saw with the Megan Thee Stallion situation.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, I feel, at least recently, again, is you have these black women who are educated, highly educated in some cases, extremely educated, and it's a backlash to it. Like, well, you just think you're smarter than me. You just think you know everything. And you just kind of see a lot of these black women who are like, you know, I don't necessarily need a husband, you know, to be happy. You know, I don't necessarily need to do things the traditional way. And that's bothersome to a lot of people. That irks them to some degree because, you know, when they see somebody out there who's independent and can confidently voice their opinion about certain issues, you know, if you don't have the ability to articulate a response or an objection to it, you just automatically retreat to, you know, these archaic beliefs and these archaic thoughts. And, you know, that's when it's like, well, you know, the man is the house, he's the head of the household, you know, God made Adam and Eve came from Adam. So who are you to tell me otherwise? And who are you to tell God otherwise? You know? So it's not by accident. And we're kind of just broadcast a lot. Unfortunately, some of the loudest voices are also the most anti-black.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is implicit. It's not necessarily explicit, but it's, you see it in just little things like, you know, I don't necessarily have an issue with it. See, with like Nick Cannon having all these different children, Future having all these different children, and NBA YoungBoy having all these different children. That's fine. Listen, that's their business. You know what I mean? That's not anything I necessarily think they should be ridiculed for or attacked. But they're doing it under, you know, hey, I just love family, and you know, the black man, he's powerful, but when I see people try to emulate that or talk about it, you know, there's a key element missing here, which is like, yo, those dudes are rich. You can't do that. Like, that's a rich man's game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do that. You know, you'll never be able to do that. So for you to do that and do what they're doing, that's highly irresponsible on your end. So how can you be upset at a woman for, you know, trying to raise the child on her own? I don't want to say keep the child away from you, but you're not holding up your end of the bargain. You brought this child in the world. It's your fifth of seventh or eighth children, however many children you had. You're not providing for her. How can you be upset at her for not centering everything on you?
Yeah, I agree. It's a troubling situation to see all the things that Black women have to deal with, and even in sports, something that they should be enjoying. Like if you look at the Angel Reese situation where she was playing basketball and taunting, that's part of the sport. And people had a whole conversation about it for days and days on how this is unsportsmanlike conduct and she should be kicked off the team and all this crazy stuff because she was taunting a player for winning a game. When the other player was taunting her, the same thing wasn't said. It's just wild how that narrative got put out there.
Yeah, it's just an incredible double standard. And it kind of just goes back to what I was saying about, you know, when a Black girl is brought into this world, it's almost like, you know, like a giraffe or like a zebra brought into this world where you don't have time to be a kid. You don't have time to be innocent. You got to grow up right away because you got all these predators around you who are gunning for you and they're coming for you for all directions. So they naturally have to have that defense up. So a lot of times they may come off as abrasive and bombastic, and that's not the case at all. That's just, you know, how they were brought up. You know, that's how they were brought up to carry themselves. And, you know, a lot of it is accidental. Like even with what happened, you know, just to piggyback off what you're saying with that situation with Angel Reese and the first lady with Jill Biden, I don't think she realized what she was saying when she said it, but she said it. And it opened up a whole can of worms. You know what I mean? She probably just heard, oh, that you know, it's just bad sportsmanship. So yeah, let's just invite both of them. You know, she didn't realize what she stepped in, which is another issue that Black women have to deal with, which is that, you know, in America, we're taught that it's a meritocracy. You know, if you work hard and you do things the right way and you show that you're the best, that's enough. But no, that's not the case. Sometimes you can show you're the best and it's still not enough. Or sometimes you can show you're the best and they'll still want to reward the next person. So it's not really truly a meritocracy. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just amazing and stunning to me to see just how far down, you know, you think we're making progress, but just to see how far down the steps or, you know, push down the elevator, however you want to term it, that Black women have gone through these last couple of years. And again, I'm not blaming everything on him. You know, he's an amusing guy when he was alive, you know, rest in peace. But I just can't help but see the rise in popularity with Kevin Samuels with a lot of his anti-woman backlash.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I think that he became the face of it, I think. And I think if people look up Kevin Samuels and look up his history, before, when he first started, he was making videos about guys and the things that guys were doing, becoming a man in the house and stuff like that and taking responsibility. Those wasn't hitting as hard as the women were. So he kind of once he started going around the women route, that's when he started blowing up and stuff like that. And people, he became almost a household name and became as big as he was becoming because he just...
And the thing is, of what he was saying and a lot of the things he was saying, it wasn't necessarily that he was wrong with the sentiments that he was putting out there for a lot of the things. I think the problem was is that he was presenting it in a way that this is what the majority of Black people, or this is what all Black people think.
Yes.
When in reality, it was probably an extremely small minority, maybe a loud minority, you know what I mean? But you got to understand, the city girls don't represent Black
people. No.
You know what I mean? They are Black women. They are representative of Black women, but not all Black women are the city girls.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? Not all Black women are Cardi B or, you know, even Meg Thee Stallion you know, the stuff they're saying in their songs, okay, that's part of our culture. Yeah, there's some black women like that, but the majority of black women, they want what any other woman want. At least I would think, you know, I don't want to speak for anybody or make any generalizations or prank with a broad brush, but I would think most of them would want kind of sort of what everybody else want. And I think that was the problem with Kevin Samuels. He was presenting this picture of, you know, black women, they just want you to pay all their bills. You know, these black women, they just want like rich guys. You know, that was kind of sort of the picture that he was painting. And a lot of men, a lot of black men, unfortunately, you know, they hooked on to that. They bought into it. They're like, yeah, you know, you preach it to the choir, sort of. And that kind of seeped into a lot of their thoughts subconsciously, and that changed their entire approach to things. I think one of the reasons, you know, if you read a lot about politics like I do, Republicans and conservatives, they're extremely confident in capturing a segment of the black vote, particularly the black male vote. Yeah. They thought they could capture it for the last couple of elections. The problem they've been having is, I personally feel that they're onto something and is there for the capturing. I just feel like the problem they've been having is they've just been running the wrong candidates. And, you know, I don't care how bad or how anti-black you are, at the end of the day, you can look at candidate A and candidate B, like, okay, this dude over here is crazy. Like, I just can't vote for him. That's just been the problem having.
Yeah.
But eventually they're gonna hit on the right guy, and he's gonna feed into that sentiment, and it'll be just enough to tip the scales.
All they have to do is find a candidate who doesn't say blatantly racist shit. That's all they have to do, really.
There you go.
I've said it on another podcast, and people don't realize it. There's a lot of conservative values in black culture. Like the whole thing about going to church every Sunday, Bible, God-fearing Bible, you know, Sunday dinners and stuff. That's part of black culture. That's ingrained in culture. So there are a lot of levels that you can kind of get to black people and conservatism. It's just that to get there, you have to mask the blatant racist things that they do sometimes.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. They just have a guy. They need to have a guy who speaks some sort of common sense when it comes to certain issues. You can't get up there and pretend that systematic racism doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Or you can't get up there and pretend that, you know, tell somebody that they're seeing is happening in their face isn't happening. As long as they can have a guy who can admit that, even on a micro level, I think that might be enough.
I agree.
But what do you think, though? Like, first of all, just to go back to sort of this original question about why these blogs are adopting these conspiracy theories, the question is, do you think the people who are publishing them even believe it? Or do you think it's just profit-driven?
I think both. I think some people believe it. I think because a lot of black cultures has conspiracy theories in it. There's things that we've seen that were not conspiracy theories that became true. Like the whole thing about the Black Panthers there. How for a long time growing up, we were heard like, you know, we always heard the Black Panthers was like systematically took out. And then you talk to people like, that didn't happen. That's not that thing. Then you find out years later, the government actually conspired against the Black Panthers and political party. They were doing all these things. Then you hear about the Tuskegee experiments and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, this was a real thing. So.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
It's crazy because a lot of black conspiracy theories that were once conspiracy theories, we come to find out they were actually true things that happened. So. It's a little different when it comes to black culture, because we find out that no, this actually happened. And it becomes fact, as opposed to these other conspiracy theories that are just so wild. And it's like, they may have a little bit of truth in it, but then it's all pretty much debunked after that.
Yeah, I think there's another nefarious element to it as well that's kind of sort of understated. If you look at a lot of these blogs, there's a big time anti-gay, anti-trans element to a lot of their stories and the way that they present it. And unfortunately, you know, it, it's a sad legacy, but we already know that there's a huge element of homophobia within the Black community.
Very much so.
It's been there for years, and now you can add in the anti-trans element. I gotta be honest with you. The last couple of years, the one thing that I've seen activate people in terms of anger and getting them animated is bring up the subject of D-Wade's daughter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, I can be talking about, you know, the cost of housing. Those of you who aren't from Florida, it's out of control. The cost of insurance, it's out of control. I can be talking about rising crime. I can be talking about healthcare. You know, real issues that affect the majority of us. And yeah, they'll respond and, you know, we'll have a conversation. Bring up the issue of D-Wade's daughter or trans kids. And it's just the emotion level. It just goes to a whole other level. People who weren't even in the other conversation about the other topic, they're jumping in there. And, you know, their opinions are strong and forceful on this issue. And it's just really, you know, illuminating, at least to me, in the negative light, just how much that engages people and how strongly they feel about it. And when you look at these blogs, there's a huge, huge element to it with the way that they present their story.
I agree. It's troubling to say the least. It's shocking because if you look at Florida's a good example. We probably have to have you on for another episode to talk about it. But Florida has a lot of problems that people just kind of brush under the table. Like in terms of, like, you know, housing going up, in terms of gentrification, in terms of everything that's going on in Florida, including right now where people can't even get gas. It's like, it's so crazy down here. But our governor is concerned about trans kids, which is pretty much not a thing. Like,
I've repeatedly said this, and I don't say it lightly to brag. Me personally, I don't know any trans person, and there's a good chance that most of you or the people who are anti-trans or have these strong feelings, you probably don't know a trans person either.
Yes.
Why are you so animated about it? Why do you even care about this at the end of the day, about what happens to, you know, these folks who aren't bothering you? You don't know any of them. What does that have to do with the price of your house insurance, your property insurance, which is quadrupled in the last year?
Yes, exactly. I know a couple, none live in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Right.
None live in Florida.
And which is probably a smart thing at this point.
Yes. But the thing that always gets me about it is that the way they talk about it, they make it seem like they have to deal with these people every day, that they're just all across Florida, that's all we see, and they're taking over. Yeah. This is something that literally does not affect your day-to-day at all. But you are so hell-bent
at all
on messing up these people's lives who have done nothing to you that you are overlooking. You're overlooking your life actually being fucked up by someone else. Like, the things that are happening in Florida that actually affect you, you're ignoring, but you're paying all the attention to these trans kids that you don't ever see. You don't, it's maybe 1%, 2%. It's not a thing we really see down here. But
and just tying it back to, you know, what we were originally talking about, just with how these blogs are trafficking in a lot of this right wing conspiracy theories or just this right wing rhetoric. It's about drumming up that anger. You know what I mean? It's about
false anger.
Presenting something. Yeah, it's about presenting something that's simple and concise and something that's going to hook them emotionally. You know what I mean? You and I, we can talk about property taxes, or we can talk about healthcare all day. You know what I mean? It's not going to be as interesting to certain people, you know, compared to me talking about, hey, did you hear about that girl who's really a boy who won the state swimming title?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the crazy thing about it is, they get mad at that while they're losing their house in foreclosure. And then some big corporation buys their house for pennies on the dollar, and they're homeless.
Yeah.
We just don't have our priorities straight.
Yeah, man, those are my thoughts on it. Like I said, it just comes down to finding your niche. It comes down to just being anti-Black women, which has never really gone out of style. I mean, you know, it may have slightly gotten a little bit better as certain Black women have become more visible in their success, but it's never really gone out of fashion. It's never really dissipated. It comes down to, you know, the anger.
Only, and this is the crazy thing, this is actual true thing, I think, I truly believe, only when they want to fetishize Black women. What right. I mean by that is there's always one or two that they put on a pedestal to fetishize, like Beyonce.
Right.
Halle Berry, not saying anything against them, but those are the ones they always put up there. Rihanna and people like that, they always put on this high pedestal. But yet at the same time, they would disrespect other Black women and talk down to Black women and disregard them like they're not all a part of the same umbrella. Black women are amazing. Black women do a lot of things. I know people try to ignore that now and they try to put these things like Black women do this, Black women do that. No, they are... They are right now doing so much for our culture and everywhere in terms of voting, in terms of jobs. They are the torch bringers. We got to respect that. And as a Black man, I want to say we step aside. We should step alongside them and do what we got to do. That's all. We both can do it, be successful at this.
And that ties into how the blogs present a lot of this stuff too. And, you know, it's not that they've replaced us. It's just that they kind of sort of had no choice in a lot of cases. Yeah. They kind of sort of were kind of just left out there in the wilderness and they kind of had to make do. And now that they made do, you know, a lot of Black men, they kind of sort of feel some way about it. And, you know, it's almost like a notion of, you know, we got to put you in your place. Yeah. You know what I mean? We gotta remind you who really runs this thing.
Unfortunately, that's how it kind of feels like. Man, it's been a great conversation, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. I was supposed to only be here 30 minutes.
I know. But you kept going, so I was like, let him cook. let him know to find you, brother.
I don't get to have these types of conversations with many people. I have a very, very lonely existence. Most of my time is just, you know, I... Put it like this, man. Just fellas, no one to shut up. Sometimes you just gotta let people talk. And that's mostly what I like. Listen, women's talk, just shut up.
You and me both. Well, you're always welcome back on here, brother, when you got time, bro. Just let me know.
You hit me up with the invite, man. I'll always make the time for you, bro.
Perfect. Let me know where to find you at.
Oh, man, just hit me up on Twitter. I'm still in that cesspool at Sheldon Wrote It.
You and me both.
What's on the screen? You know, I'm gonna be in that. Listen, man, I'm going down with the Titanic, man.
Me too. I'm already counting.
Hey, listen, I'm like you know, the Muppets. What's his name? Sadler and Waldorf. I think that's their names. The ones who are always in the bleachers, just yelling about how everything sucks. That's pretty much me on Twitter now. just pretty much yelling about how much this place sucks now, how much has gone down. But I'm right there. I'm right there, my
facts.
That's me.
All right, brother. As always, Devil Conspiracy.
All right, man. You have a good day.
Peace.